So maybe we can use that just as a base and kind of take off from there and talk a little bit about where we are today, what clinical research information we've received and we have to deal with right now in metastatic non-small cell, particularly metastatic squamous cell. And you were involved with two papers that were review articles, one focusing on pembrolizumab and the other focusing on pembrolizumab plus chemotherapy. Can you talk a little bit about some of the key points that you and your co-authors were trying to make?
So I think that treatment for non-small cell lung cancer, more so in adenocarcinoma, but also in squamous cell lung cancer, has clearly evolved from just a platinum-based doublet. Of course, in the past, we used to be certain that we used histology-driven platinum-based doublet, to now ensuring, particularly in adenocarcinomas, doing molecular analysis and PD-L1 assessment, and in squamous cell, definitely PD-L1 assessment, though I will say that more and more I've started getting, in at least selective squamous cell lung cancer patients, even frontline molecular analysis. But the PD-L1 status, at least right now, seems to be driving therapy, particularly in squamous cell lung cancer. So if a patient's PD-L1 is above 50%, then in those patients, I'll consider pembrolizumab. Whereas in patients who are below 50%, usually they would be candidates for chemotherapy and pembrolizumab. Now, for the patients above 50%, I have considered chemotherapy and pembrolizumab instead of just single agent pembrolizumab. And that is because if I believe that the patient needs a quicker response because of higher tumor burden, then I would consider doing chemotherapy and pembrolizumab, because the data from KEYNOTE-407, which was the squamous cell study of chemo plus pembrolizumab versus chemotherapy alone, and KEYNOTE-24, which was single agent pembrolizumab versus chemotherapy in both histologies, suggests that the response rate may be higher with chemotherapy and pembrolizumab versus pembrolizumab alone. And so if I feel that the patient needs a quicker response, patient is more symptomatic, patient has a higher tumor burden, I'd consider chemotherapy and pembrolizumab. In squamous cell, of course, we continue chemotherapy up to usually 4, occasionally up to 6 cycles, and after which I discontinue chemotherapy and just maintain them on pembrolizumab. And of course, if they were getting pembrolizumab only right from the beginning, I continue that. I usually will stop treatment at 2 years. I tend to follow the studies as they were conducted. I will admit it's a discussion, and frankly, I start that discussion at least 6 months in advance as to, you know, one of the thoughts is to stop the treatment because that's how the studies were conducted. But I can tell you there are patients' sort of responses to that discussion is very different. Some patients are very happy. They are done with the every 3-week visit and, you know, like to see me only every 3 months. Whereas there are other patients who are very nervous and very anxious. And so I distinctly remember a different patient, adenocarcinoma patient who had chemoradiation for stage 3 disease, very young patient, only 37 years old, had HER2 mutation actually and PD-L1 high. And within 6 months of completing chemotherapy and radiation, at that time we were not doing consolidation durvalumab because that data was not available. So within 6 months, the patient progressed. And because his PD-L1 was high, we started him on pembrolizumab. That was in September of 2016. And he continues on pembrolizumab because he's extremely reluctant, having progressed within 6 months after chemoradiation, to discontinue pembrolizumab. So it's a discussion, but if the patient, which some patients do say, what would you do, doctor? I have tended to stop them at 2 years.